Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, my name is Tanya Hathaway, and I'm your host for Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told. It is May 24th, 2020, and you are listening to us either on Marty Oakley's TS Radio Network or on Stephen Burke's 89.9 KLRB, 89.9 FM KLRB Lighthouse Christian Radio out of Oklahoma. Thank you to both Marty and to Stephen for being such heroes and warriors and taking your time and on the weekend even to do what you do to, you know, on holidays. And, you know, Marty's practically every night, if not every night. And Stephen, you know, not-for-profit. Marty, you know, makes not a penny. This is all for the greater good of the people. This is where you can come to hear the truth. And if there's any error, any accident, you know, we make those corrections. I make those corrections. I'm not a lawyer. You know, I'm not a preacher. But everybody who comes on the show is very well vetted. And so I don't give advice. None of us here give advice. We give opinion, but also it's based on, once again, extremely well-vetted material. Quite often, information is shared, proof of the info. The information is there. The proof is there. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about these things on the show. So what happens when... Okay, I just got your message, James. Thank you. So what happens is that the people that are opposing, the people that are bullying, bad-mouthing, are actually, you know, asked, show us your proof. If there's some proof, if you're saying, in this case, that James Treat is actually a troublemaker, then prove it. Prove that he's making trouble. And if you're saying that James Treat is under investigation because he's done things, well, gosh, show it. Just show it. And these are from the people that are just come right out and say things that they can't back it up, and unfortunately, including Joe Chitwood. So we have a parade going on once again right outside of – it's the Charade Parade. I was just informed, is going right outside of on outside of James Treat's home. And I'm going to find out if we need to call the police right now, because it really isn't a parade. It is a conspiracy to harass, as we've actually seen the things that actually add up to the crimes of conspiracy. All right, and I've got that statute in front of me right now, Oklahoma statute. So I would like to, okay. All right, James, come on. I'm going to have to call back in. I need to call the police. He's got one. Okay, so, no, James, could you please call the police? James, could you please call the police? James Tree is on. Let me know if you can't, and I will, James. And then you can call back in. Marty will look for you when you call back in. Call 911. Call the sheriff's office. If you're unable to, then I will. And just call back in. See, this is what our show is about tonight, is for those that have been following the show, it's a whistleblower who has been harassed for whistleblowing for illicit activities going on in the town of Calvin, Oklahoma, for publicly for a couple of years now. Publicly meaning speaking at a rally in Oklahoma City, publicly as in coming on the show here for a couple of years now, and trying to clean up the act over there in Calvin, Oklahoma. So we're jumping right into the activity, obviously, and we need to start looking out after each other's best interests as human beings, not just as, you know, the good old boy club. So the last show that we had, it was the show following the first parade, which was a conspiracy, actually behind the scenes, to have a parade every Sunday, time this show starts, until James Street learns his lesson, until he stops doing the show, to teach him a lesson, to harass him until he stops doing the show. And Regina Webster is the person who actually started the group with and it's something to do with the Calvinites or whatever. And, of course, this is about Calvin, Oklahoma. And she had said, if anybody let him know, James Treat, know that they'd be in big trouble. They'd be at the wrath of Regina Webster. Now, Regina Webster is the wife of David Webster, who has been trespassing, ruining public property, including James Treat's security cameras, which are up there for the crimes against him. That are happening every day, between the trespassing, between the death threats, between the all the multitude, the harassment that's gone on and on and on, just because James Treat has exposed the fact that Calvin has not come forward with their financials since 2010, and there's a lot of issues with the finances. There's no transparency. And you should be able to go right down to the town clerk and find out what your taxes are funding. That is supposed to be a public record, and it hasn't been. They've been budgeting things into the budget that aren't even budgeted for. Okay, so Marty, he's called back in. So if you want to let him back on, Marty, Stephen Burke has been there to witness a lot of things that have happened with James Treat. And so they disbanded the parade charade that was going through to harass, conspiracy to harass, to commit an act injurious to the public health, to public morals, or for the perversion of obstruction of justice or the due administration of the laws. They are guilty of conspiracy. So that's one of the prongs, okay? It's one of the Oklahoma statutes. Okay, so they've disbanded now. So they hear us talking about them being there. So just while they're disbanding, I'm going to go through some of the names of the people that were there last time this took place. All right, I've got a list of names of the people who were engaged in this conspiracy to harass James Treat. Let me see. Bill Cagle was there. Hi, Bill. Hope you're listening. We've got Emma Craven. We've got Jack Chapman, Gail Willibanks, Clyde Vandeveer, Mima Blevin, Denny Boren, Rex Jones, Regina Webster, Bill Null, are some of the ones that were actually in the parade 2 weeks ago. So it'll be interesting to see who else is in the parade. And James will get into a few of who those people are. a little bit later. And let me see, other people that were part of this conspiracy to harass James Tree, whether they were at the parade or not last time, I'm not sure. Okay, you got your back, both back in. All right. Are Gene Wilbanks, Amber Lawrence, Brittany Renee, Paula Bennett, again, Emma Craven, and possibly her daddy, Robert Craven. So those are just some of the members of that private group that after they found out that the parade charade was known about in advance, it was posted that they need to find out who the snitch is. So if this was anything, peaceful assembly, it didn't have to be hidden. It wouldn't have been hidden. If this was anything but with a purpose to harass, as is known, I don't know who's making that back noise, but we need to be really careful with that back noise because we want to make sure all of our listeners are there. By the way, thank you, listeners, for listening in. We jumped right into the show. I want to thank our listeners, and I'd like to just thank also all of those who gave their lives, who lost their lives, just Memorial Day weekend. So I don't want to make light of that at all. And so it's more than just a party. So thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We couldn't do this without you. We really appreciate your dedication to caring. We know that some, quite a bit, will listen to this archive later on. Some will listen to it again and again, and it resonates. And we're hearing from more and more people about what is being exposed. Now, that includes last Sunday, we had a caller call in who claims to be, when I asked what his name was, who claims to be Trent. Well, the caller, we thanked him. I thanked him for coming on. And then before you know it, he's saying how he doesn't know why it's anybody's business or why somebody would want to know, you know, where the money came from to pay for a service utility vehicle for a police department. Well, any prudent citizen would want to know. And I think even those who don't, you know, pay attention or aren't necessarily involved in their communities, if they knew, whoever's making those noises, we need to keep that noise down. I think we might have somebody else online other than Stephen and other than James and myself, Marty. I'm not really sure. But
well, Tanya, I muted up everybody's line. That is somebody lurking on the line. Somebody's
okay.
Broke in and listening online. So there's nothing I can do about
that.
Okay.
Marty, am I on?
Yes, you
You're
are.
You're on.
You got bounced
right.
out at the same time I did, James.
Somebody's trying to hack in because they don't like being exposed, probably. Or got somebody
I'm thinking
else
the same
to hack
thing.
In.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you're good now.
Okay. Thank you so much. So this person who called in was quick to just jump on the same bandwagon that more or less that the chief of police, Joe Chitwood, had been doing, and also calling James Treat or inferring that James Treat must be mentally ill for wanting to know where the money for an SUV comes from. Like, whose business is it? And I had mentioned, gee, well, you sound like the police officer yourself. And I don't know, you know, as soon as he mentioned mental illness, you know, ding, 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 it was pretty clear, you know, that we felt that this person, it was a plant. But let's give the guy a chance. Well, not, you know, he hung up more or less when, you know, I was just asking a few challenging questions, very willing to listen. But actually what he had to say back was just the same way that Joe Chitwood has been answering back. Now, mind you, I didn't think it was Joe Chitwood, but the chief of police of Calvin, the ex chief of police that was fired from Wetumpka, and I didn't think it was him, but I kind of had a feeling that he probably had a good idea, you know, who it was. He might have talked to a buddy of him, and I mentioned, gee, you really sound like a police officer. You know what I mean? You sound like a police officer. Well, lo and behold, a couple of minds together quickly, and I didn't get permission to say, so I won't, but found out who this person was, who the number was actually listed to, that he was calling in on. And it's a gentleman by the name of Andrew McKenzie. Andrew McKenzie. Now, he could have loaned the phone out to Trent, right? He could have loaned the phone out to Trent. But what was the likelihood that Andrew McKenzie, a sergeant in Tulsa, Oklahoma, police officer, a sergeant in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I can tell you what, there's a couple good guys in Tulsa, Oklahoma I do know about, but there's a lot of really bad ones that I know about too. So, you know, I would bet all my, you know, 99% that, Joe Chitwood needed somebody to backpat him. And the funny thing is, after that show where his plant was exposed, he blocked me. He blocked me. So that I can no longer see what he has to say, but I can certainly, but you know, it's been just a little bit nuts. It's been a little bit nuts. To my understanding, there's a bad storm in Oklahoma. So we'll have to see what happens with the radio coverage, and we'll have to see what happens with, hopefully everything will keep working. Okay. We've got Francis. Somebody from out of state. Okay. All right. You can call in as long as you don't hit the number one. If you want to make a comment, hit the number one, which you're more than welcome to do. Anybody who calls in. But I've got somebody from New Jersey who is listening in, his name is Francis. So, oh, thank you for listening, Francis. Actually, I know who that is. Just don't hit the number one. That's all. So we really appreciate you listening in. But this is what happens. This is what happens. So there are people that are lurking in the dark. They're lurking in the dark. They're showing up, but they're not showing up. We've got these people in this charade parade, okay, who claim, you know, that they're not doing anything wrong. And Joe Chitwood, their own chief of police, who I might add was named as somebody who was in the group, but I can't say for sure because I did not see his name, his actual picture or comment in the group. He absolutely was in agreement that people have the right to protest. Yes, they do. Good for you, Joe Chitwood. Good for you. People do have the right to protest. That is a constitutional right. Absolutely, Joe. We're glad you got something right. But the part you got wrong, Joe, is not when it is a conspiracy to harass. So El Chipo Joe has sunken onto his hands and knees with his little tail and gone into hiding, and just does not like being called out. He doesn't like being called out. Plain and simple. He's wrong about his service. He lies about his service and protections provided for the citizens. He does not tell the accurate truth when he's trying to defend it himself. And you would have to dig a very deep, deep hole and live in the darkness 24/7 to not see the drug running going on right in Calvin. Everybody else sees it, Joe Chitwood. Where are you? I'm just wondering, where are you?
Where are you? Are you lining your pockets, Joe? To turn the other way? I'm just kind of curious. I'm curious about some other things, too. But where's Joe Chitwood? He says that he shows up at night because he doesn't want to talk to anyone. He doesn't want to be seen. I mean, he said these things to me. You know, he goes there at night. Well, drug running takes place during the day and at night. So are you just making excuses for not being able to see what's really going on? There's a lot of bad things that are going on there, and there's some things we obviously cannot talk about. So so there was a plant who pretended to be Treat to stand up for his brotherhood, you know, and they were both snagged pretty easily. So that was an in-your-face, you know. But I would like to give kudos to some reports that apparently did make their way. James Treat, thank you for coming on again. Stephen Burke, thank you for being with us live. Let's talk. Let's talk about what's going on. Who's first? Okay, let me see if a message that I got from James Treat was.
No, I'm on. I'm on if you can hear me.
Okay. All right. So let's talk. What's going on? Do you think the parade stopped because of the thunderstorms?
That was probably a little bit of a deterrent, but they probably have it timed out that if they dispersed after about or before 15 minutes or so. The sheriffs rarely get here in less than 15 to 20 minutes.
Right.
As a matter of fact, but it did start to really, really rain very, very heavy, and some slight hail was seen.
Okay.
But it was some of the same participants. Regina Webster was leading the way proudly, and her husband was David Webster was sitting in the wings on his property in between the two buildings, kind of keeping a watch out for everything.
Right.
I can't really name a lot of the other individuals because I was having to do some other things at the same time.
Right.
But those things are all captured on multiple video cameras. So they'll be easy enough to identify.
Okay. All right. What happened when they're doing charades?
You know, just in discussion, is one of the things you wanted to talk about, or. The last event 2 weeks ago when they did this, the Sheriff's Department was called down. And one of the events the day before was the Sheriff's Department's no-show to four phone calls. Well, in reference to all that, there were reports made and complaints made to be filed with the Sheriff's Department. And Monday of this week, Stephen Burke went to the Sheriff's Department. It was late, about 3:30, 3 o'clock, to speak with the undersheriff, Brad, as the deputies on that Sunday told us we needed to do, or told me that I needed to do. He had left for the day, and one of the people in the Sheriff's Department had contacted him by phone, and he said he'd be back the following morning at 8 o'clock. I left a message with the person there I was speaking with to let him know that I'd be in at 9 o'clock the following morning, that I was instructed I needed to speak with him specifically about the incident report that was never answered by, and then also some additional charges that had to be filed with him or complaints filed with him. The following morning, I thought rather than go to town, because we were told the night before that he was having to sit in the courtroom because that particular deputy was on vacation or off, I called, and they said, well, no, that lady didn't know what she was talking about. He's going to be in the courtroom all day. I said, okay, fine. Can you have him call me when he gets a chance? Well, I got no phone call on all day Tuesday. I got no phone call on all day Wednesday. Thursday morning, I called back, talked with dispatch, and told them I had not received the call, that now I was asking for either the sheriff or the undersheriff to return a phone call. So all day Thursday, I did not get a call, and the earlier part of most of Friday, I did not get a call. So I called Tommy Peek, our county commissioner, in Precinct 3, told him the situation. He said he'd make some calls and he'd see and he'd find out what he could. And so right now we're waiting on he has scheduled a meeting for Tuesday with myself, but I have yet to hear from the sheriff's department, and he said he would pursue that to see about getting that arranged. And to date, that has not been arranged and or responded to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a disgraceful set of events. That's a disgraceful set of events by our public officials.
That's very disgraceful. Because
elected officials, an elected official of the county.
Yeah. Yep.
And a complete
and
staff.
Nobody called to say that they were planning on coming at a certain time. They're sorry that they hadn't gotten there yet. Nothing like that.
Not a word.
Okay.
Death
okay.
Silent.
Well, our phone number is 917-388-4520. 917-388-4520. If you would like to speak to our guests, Stephen Burke or James Treat, or myself, the host, please press number one when the system picks up. Now, if you're a plant, we're going to find out. We're just going to find out. We have some things on our side that we're able to find out. If you want to remain anonymous, that's fine. You have every right to remain anonymous. But if you start swearing, you're going to get cut off right away. We're on a Christian radio station, not to mention we're regulated by the FCC. So, you know, we want to be able to continue doing these shows, and people have the right to be heard. So I'm welcoming anybody who has any questions or comments or civil discussion about why any of this is wrong, or if you are like a Joe Chitwood that wants to come on and, you know, defend yourself, you're welcome to call in. You were welcome to call in a long time ago. The same thing with Joe Henry Hardin, who had said that this is a joke when the promo went out today. And Joe, you know, what can I say? You were seen in town, and now you're gone. You are you're a known felon, but that and you know you served the time that you were told you had to serve. And but you know we also have a litany of your docket is pretty long, and that's including the fact that you're the son of an ex-mayor or a mayor, right? So you've been given special treatment, you've got there's a protection order against you for threatening the life of James Treat. And, you know, you're seen, you know, walking around and driving your vehicle over the last week or whatever it was. So, you know, you can say anything that you want to say. And if we're wrong, you can prove it. And maybe, you know, maybe some things we just can agree to disagree about. But to basically call this all a joke, it's really not a joke when people's lives are at risk, and when you've got the special child who has been protected, but there's only so much protection that can be given for you, so you have to actually do a little bit of time when you're involved in a manslaughter. You had to do a little bit of time. I wonder what anybody else would have had to have done. Just think about that. You know, you drive around without a valid license for however long you've done that for, and you threaten people's lives, and you lie. That's your job, is to lie. It's your job. That's what you do. stay out of trouble or to try to stay out of trouble alive. Do I think you tell the truth about something? Sure you do. Do I think you are a good person to some people? Sure. I imagine you are. But it does not take away from the fact. It does not make you a kind of person that is trustworthy when it comes to the general public. Unless you're one of them, unless you're one of their people. So, Joe Henry Harden, sorry. You know what I mean? Sorry, not sorry. Say all you want. Say all you want. So, you know, for all the naysayers, out there that think that you have nothing to offer to Calvin James Treat, let's talk about what you have offered to Calvin. Have you done anything good for Calvin? I mean, I, for number one, can say that, yeah, I mean, you're trying to uncover thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that have been missing. You've tried to do something about that dark, disgusting water that exists. You have tried to do, you've done, from what I understand, things for many people without asking for a thing back. Stephen Burke, can you attest to any of this?
Okay, let me interrupt for just 1 second. Through the rain, a sheriff's deputy has shown up on the scene, and he met with Joe Chitwood sitting a half a block away at the old store. So either Joe Chitwood just showed up late, or he was very much aware of the parade as it started. So now both the sheriff and Joe Chitwood's vehicle are exiting Highway 1 going east.
Okay.
And before I forget, I have every confidence that Tommy Peake will call me back on Tuesday. But I just wanted to give you that update on the sheriff response call.
Okay. All right.
But back to what you were saying, you know, if you're a 40-year-old person still living at home with mom and you're commenting on the site like Joe Henry did, your words mean nothing. You know, if you're kin to somebody that's committing all these crimes and you're commenting out there, your words really mean nothing to discussion because you're operating off of emotions, off of feelings, off of hearsay. But what Tanya was alluding to about the things done for Calvin, if it doesn't bother you where $100,000 went in the last set of financials, because it's not the town's money, it is everybody's money. It's not just those people's money that happen to be the mayor or sitting as the trustee up there. That is money that is supposed to be used for fixing your roads, maintaining your water lines, providing you essential services, and supposed to be providing protection, safety, well-being for the citizens of Calvin. And you can't do it if you're broke. You can't do it if you're doing things on your own agenda. But back to a few things that these people are saying, well, what have you done for Calvin? Well, I've loaned money to multiple people here in town, $20 here, $40 there. I have sold things to people in Calvin that have some of those special last names that still owe money, that didn't
pay
the debt.
What do you mean special last names? What do you mean? Like
well,
one of the good
that
old
have,
boys?
I'm not going to say the names, but have names that supposedly are supposed to mean something here in Calvin. That still
mean
owe
something
money.
In the way of special treatment?
Yes.
Okay.
And if their relatives were alive, they would have paid that money back. You know, I have put money on a charge account down at the store for somebody that didn't want to let them know what it was for. Stephen and I have fixed multiple four-wheelers for different people, worked on people's cars. And you know what? Never have taken a single penny. Before the mayor became relevant or tried to make herself relevant, the Baptist preacher James and I, a good friend of mine, went and got her daughter's car, winched it up on a trailer, and delivered it to her front door. Did we take a penny for that? No. Louis Cole and I have made trips to fix people's flats to help people that were stranded on the highway. Did we take a penny for that? No. So don't sit there and tell me that I or Stephen haven't done things for the people of this town. Now, that's also not to say that I know that Regina Webster has done things for people of this town.
Right.
But it's about all of your deeds, not just a select few of your deeds.
Mm-hmm.
So, to all the naysayers, I can live with my principles, I can live with my morals, and I can live with my legal compliance. And the question is, can you?
Let me ask you something, okay? Listen, Joe Henry and I are messaging back and forth a little bit. Joe Henry Harden and I are, and he wanted to clarify. He went to a jury trial over felony manslaughter case, and they found him guilty and sentenced him to a year in the county jail. You know, I don't know if you look at anybody else who was found guilty over felony manslaughter, who's going to spend a year in jail. But that's what he did. He said it had nothing to do with his mother. She was not mayor of Calvin at the time, and he wasn't given any special treatment whatsoever. So, you know, I'm going to share his side of that. And, you know, we don't need to spend the night going back and forth bickering about this, that, and the other thing. You know what I mean? I'm just saying because, you know, listen, Joe Henry is not the reason why things are going wrong in Calvin. Let's face it. He isn't the reason. I'm not saying that he hasn't done wrong, that he doesn't deserve the protective order and whatnot. But what's wrong is these things would never be happening if law enforcement was doing their job.
Or
if
the people running the town had done their fiduciary responsibility, would have done their trustee duties, would have done their treasury duties, would have done their mayoral duties in running the town with a transparent means of government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, no doubt. So that's the thing. If there wasn't neglect of duty, right? If there wasn't neglect of duty, and certainly Joe Chitwood is not the first one who was neglected his duty in Calvin. You know,
let's clarify that. It is still being ran in the exact same manner of no transparency, no financials, no financial accountability, not according to the laws and the statutes and the codes of the town, still to this date, under Rhonda Tweedle's governorship.
Okay.
Still not being done.
And let's let our listeners know who Rhonda Tweedle is. I know we have a lot of people that tune back into the show, but for those
that
don't know.
That would be the mayor of Calvin, Oklahoma, which is Joe Henry Harden's mother.
Rhonda Tweedle is.
And
okay.
His grandmother, Linda Bennett, was the treasurer for 18, 19, 20 years,
right,
of which all but the last year and a half is responsible for the 6.5, 7 years of financials that are not filed.
Right. Right.
Those are facts.
Right. Right.
Undeniable,
and so
undisputable
facts. It's all in the family. Right. It's all in the family. It's all in the family. Part of the good old boys club, the last name. But also, Joe Henry does want to clarify that he doesn't live across the street from his mother, and I believe I had said that last week. And he lives outside of Calvin, not too far from Calvin. He says he does not hang out there. So I'm sharing it. He just doesn't want to call in.
Well, he can do all that explaining to the law enforcement people because videotape suggests otherwise and other information suggests otherwise.
Okay. So the other side is being shared, even though it's not through a call in, but it's through messaging me. But I don't want this to take away too much from some other things that are very important here.
The lawlessness and disorder that's going on today is what is at hand.
Exactly.
The lawlessness in this town today.
Yes. Yes. And
in
so
open
just
view.
Over the last week, over the last, it's like seven days, all right, over the last week, what incidents have taken place that would be deemed to be harassment or trespassing, you know, and how long has this been going on a very regular basis where nobody's really doing anything about it or on a very limited view to make it appear good?
Well, there's been very little activity along that line except for tonight's events. There's still the ongoing situations of civil rights violations because the police chief fails to enforce. We don't need to go into that right now, but, I mean, they are
right.
Facts. I mean, they're a part of the post with
right.
the puppets post.
Right.
Those are things that the police chief's duties are spelled out in the own town's code. It's a duty. It's not an elective assignment. It's not an elective. It is a required core element of his job, duty, to enforce all ordinances, whether he agrees with them or not. And when his
right.
failure to do so, it then becomes civil violations on him and the council, especially when the violations are occurring by the mayor and by one of the trustees. And while the other trustees sit back, even though they're not physically guilty of committing a crime, they're guilty by the oath of their own office by allowing those two members to still remain on the council as trustees.
Yes, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
When they don't do that, all five of the trustees are violating their own oath as elected officials that they sign as an oath of office to uphold all the laws of the state of Oklahoma. They are in violation themselves.
Okay, so
now
people
don't think that's a serious thing, but that's the same thing as giving your word to someone. It goes to your character. It goes to your, and this is a misuse of the word, integrity. It goes to your soul set of principles that you operate on. If you can't do what's good for the goose, is good for the gander, as far as the law goes, you don't need to be sitting in that seat or in that chair or in that office or wearing that badge.
Correct. Correct. So, okay, so now we're going to get into a little bit more about some specifics here, right? So how many different reports should have been written since Joe Chitwood took office, just in regard to the abuse against you yourself? And we'll talk about how many have been written. You know, I've got this whole timeline of some more recent things, but I also have, you know, and this was just in between, goodness gracious, we're looking at, oh boy, 640, 647, 647, 733, you know, okay, just, all right. I've got, you know, I've seen many reports that have been written by you, but have not been followed up with, apparently, by the chief of police. And, you know, and again, that's nothing new. So Joe Chitwood coming to town, you know, it's certainly nothing better. And apparently between Daryl Harden and Joe Chitwood, from everything that I'm hearing, Delbert Harden.
Delbert.
And Joe, right. And Joe Chitwood, things are actually better without a chief of police. Isn't that something else? You know,
well,
there's about five robberies in that short period of time. Why is that? You'd think it would be when you're in between chief of police, right?
Well, it's a sad commentary when you can honestly look somebody eye to eye and say, Delbert Harden occupied that office over there 75, 85, 90% more time than what anyone in this town has seen Joe Chitwood.
Right.
That is a sad commentary.
And Delbert Harden was that bad. And he was that bad. He was just open about it. So, you know, Joe Chitwood's just not doing anything and pretending to not know anything and then throw you a carrot every now and then. So I'm investigating. What is it that you're investigating? You know, you've got videos of people that have broken the law
that have, you know, trespassed, that have that have broken your that cut the wires to your security camera. For goodness sake, you know who it is. What is it that you have to investigate? You know what? Let's get this right here. You know.
Well, on 514, I gave an open records request to the Town of Calvin Municipal Clerk.
Okay. This
in
is
email
what we're
form.
Talking about.
Here we go. In email form, very specific. Please provide me the following information. Since the courtroom is closed and Calvin Town Hall is closed and has been closed, i.e. Tony Baker, i.e. David Webster. 1, case numbers for all arraignment hearings from December 1 through May 14, 2020. Charges associated with each plea and case number. Plea for each arraignment and 4, date of event of each case number.
Well, and not only did it just, I'm going to interject here for a moment. These are called victims' rights to have the answers to these as well.
And
it shouldn't have even had to be gone through an open records request. But of course, you know.
And they were going to charge 25. And they were going to charge 25 cents a page for this information.
Right. Right. You as
okay.
The victim.
So, after replying to that and saying that they'd be needed to be viewed as according to the Open Records Act, but since I am also a member of the press and since this is for the public good, they cannot charge me for research fees and or reproduction fees according to state law anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to remind them of all of the Open Records Act. But after going and making photocopies, there were 7 pages of information given, of which do not reflect the information that was requested. And I personally can't really make heads or hide out of it because it gives sparses of information of handwritten notes, not formal charges. There's only one piece of paper that shows a citation that contains 3 of the 4 elements, but not even the police.
Okay, well, I'm
okay.
Looking at one piece of paper. I'm looking at one piece of paper right now, and it says...
And what was requested was very simple and very straightforward, just a simple log of the court docket.
Hold on. We've got HTTP, Calvin PD, citation, court, sheet, report, print. Okay, so that's what she filed this under, okay? So it does say, initially, it appears that one of these 3 people pled guilty, and then it was changed to no contest. But gosh, I don't know who that is. So it says you have a court date for August 10th at 7 o'clock, okay? Appeared in court, yes. Apparently, there was an arraignment, okay? Docket for 511, all right? We have David Webster, case number 2020-0002. You know what's really strange? I mean, why is it 0002? Is that the only... that the 002 second complaint that might be against him or the second complaint in Calvin. I don't know. Destruction, damage of property. Okay, it says written record request, $250, not guilty, 6-8-2020 at 7 o'clock. So I'm wondering, is he pleading not guilty or is he pleading no contest? Because we've got not guilty looks as though it is... it looks as though it is scratched out, and then we have got no contest. So whoever's sharing these records, you know, there's no clarity here whatsoever. And then we have James Vanderveer, noise complaint, $150. Do you know anything about that?
Okay, well, let's just skip to the chase. Out of all these, out of everything that was provided to me.
No, answer my question. Hold on. Answer my question, please. Answer my question. I'm interviewing
I
need some answers.
I know through... the party making a complaint, they have made that complaint no less than a dozen times, but I can't say whether that is from that complaint or that actually came from a trustee complaint that lives a block away that finally got some kind of action.
From who? James Vanderveer?
From the police department that made the wrote the citation. I know of another individual that has made that claim dozens of times.
I'm talking about James Vanderveer right now.
I understand. That's the person that has a semi-truck, that has a refrigeration unit, that runs all night, that nobody can sleep. But I know an individual that's made that complaint a dozen times or more with zero action.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So I can't say that that one citation referred to him, or if it didn't return to a trustee who was also known to complain.
Okay. Well, and there's no signature on this or anything. It doesn't say who wrote these. Okay, this is page 7 of 7. So hold on. I think it has to do with your records requests. Okay, Tony Baker case, 2020.
Okay, but just cutting to the chase, on Tony Baker alone, there's only one case number out of these 7 pages. The other 4 pages relate to David Webster. There's 3 pages that relate to Tony Baker, case number 2019-0010. All 3 pieces of paper relate to that same case number. Just in the month of December, there were 3 verbal assaults. In January, there was one threatened to kill you. There were 2 events where Officer Chitwood escorted him out of 2 different town hall meetings and or municipal court, and a 3rd one where Wilson escorted him out. So right there alone is 3, 6, 7 cases, of which we only have paperwork on 1.
Okay. We've got 2nd and Canadian, David Webster, right?
Right, but that was Tony Baker. Okay, now David Webster's got the 1 ticket for trespassing. Okay, but it doesn't have a case number that I can find associated with it.
Okay, this one is dated. Let me see. Who's badge 02? Is Joe Chitwood 01 and then
no,
reserve 02?
No, Chitwood's Calvin 1.
Right, okay. All right, so this is reserve. This is April 8th. This is against David Webster, April 8th at 9:42. Okay, so that, all right, so we've got that one. It's municipal. I don't see a case. All right, so we've got that one. All right, and then we've got, let me see, what else do we have? Suspect, arrestee, Tony Baker. Let me see. Very little information on him. It doesn't give any information regarding, you know, height, weight, date of birth, nothing like that.
Okay, but can you find anywhere in there, can you name how many cases or case numbers are against Baker from these 4 pieces of paper?
Well, I see
because
one
I,
case
because
number
I can't.
Against Baker, which is 2019-0010. But the thing is, I'm not seeing when this was actually, you know,
when the event took place.
Well, the event allegedly, I believe, took place on. Let me see. There is no date. There is no date, but it's a 2019.
Okay,
no
but
date.
Do you see the calamity of information to a very simple logistical request, timeline request from the court?
I mean, your date of birth is in here, not Tony Baker's. Okay, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to share with our listeners what a joke this is. And one, let me see. There's another one against, who is it? Tony Baker. Let's see if it's the same case number, 2019-00. Yep, same case number. This was a duplicate. Maybe that's because I printed it twice, so forgive me. I don't want to. Then we've got something else that's continued to June 8th, plea and first appearance. This is trying to see who this is again. Oh my goodness! Is there? There's no case number.
Like I said, Pocket I can't make heads or tails of it.
Yeah. It's. Then we
just a bunch of paperwork thrown together to appease you to say we gave you something.
Exactly. And were these really on the books? So let me see. We've got another one against David Webster. His date of birth, March 3rd, 1965, I believe it is.
The David Webster dates are after the Tony Baker pointing the firearm. Do you see any charge of a firearm? That's besides other assaults that aren't listed.
Yeah, and I don't even see what the offense is.
In that time frame. No.
Yeah, and it's not showing what the offense is either here. So date notified by, there's nothing here. It's blank. Case number 2020-02. Yeah, so there's a bunch of paperwork here. That adds up to what? Nothing.
Nothing.
It looks like nothing. It looks like nothing. Type of report, property. Badge number, here's one written, apparently, 001, Joe Chitwood. This is February 15th, 2020 at 1300. Okay, so it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. What does this say? Vandalism, destruction, damage of property.
That's going to be a David Webster. But still, no Tony Bakers for all those times being hauled out of the open meeting.
Right, but listen, this goes back to February, reported on February. Damage of property, destruction of property, vandalism. This goes back to February.
Those got caught up in the arraignments of March and April that got postponed.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you for that. Fair enough. We need to be fair. Okay.
My point still goes back to the fact that when a police chief wrestles someone out of a meeting in a bear hug, and makes the statement going out the door that multiple people heard, you've never had your blank kicked by a little man, have you? Now, I'm told by other law enforcement agencies outside of Hughes County that the mere fact that Joe Chitwood told the suspect as he was wrestling him out of town hall that he had no choice but to file charges on that man.
But he didn't.
And those charges aren't anywhere to be found here. And that happened on one other occasion by Joe Chitwood and one other occasion by the reserve officer in public meetings.
Mm-hmm.
They're not part of this. And the situation in January where I'm going to kill you, it's not there. I don't see the three verbal assaults in the same day, even in this group of paperwork.
Right.
And I would challenge them to show me where it's at. Because I can show them the police complaints by date, by event, with evidence.
Okay.
In the case of the first three verbal assaults, there was a witness on hand, and one of them occurred in the presence of Joe Chitwood. Where are they?
All right. I'm gonna bring up something that is it's third party, okay, but I'm aware that I'm not the only third party who has heard this, and I'm aware of a second party who has heard this. There are 38. What is the river right around there?
South Canadian River.
It's the South
and the
Canadian
number is,
River.
The number is 33, 34.
Well, I've got information that there are 38 in the river. So what does that mean? That there are 38 people that allegedly have been thrown in the river to die or were already.
That is because that is a group of people that somebody didn't like and or opposed somebody or didn't salute and fall in line and simply disappeared.
Yep.
Out of Calvin.
Yeah.
That's exactly
okay,
what
so
that
I'm
means.
Okay. And so we're there.
And,
we're
and
there.
How I can and how I can speak so definitively on that is because I've had two elderly people over the age of 90 tell me the same story.
And what I have okay, and so what I have been told by resources. More than one, is that they said if it was a few years ago that you would have met James the same fate and you would have been number 39.
Oh, that's been
and,
told to me by a council member in council.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep. Yep. So when these people have gone missing, apparently it was when they were trying to, you know, they came out against corruption at various points in the
no,
past.
No, they just simply crossed someone the wrong way. They didn't fall in line. They didn't do what someone told them to do.
Okay, which means they're
and after and if they couldn't have ran them out of town by getting them kicked out of their rent house, or they couldn't have ran them out of town by getting them fired from their job. That's and they couldn't burn their house or burn them out. Then they would simply take more extreme measures.
And were these from what you understand, were these people living alone? Did it happen to somebody as a member of family? Were people searching for a particular person or not? And it's my understanding that there's at least one person in town that's still alive that is very much against you that has said that they could name every single person in that river.
There's another person that I know of that's elder that lives across the river that will not talk to anybody. Then there's the person you're naming. And then there's two or three other individuals that know partials of the list.
Mm-hmm.
But I myself have only heard names of a few because at different points in time, I had no perspective as to know who the heck they were even talking about. And there was no story attached with the individual. But there are
right.
specific stories attached with a couple of individuals, who they crossed and why. And even that person threatening somebody else, do you want to end up like XYZ because I took care of them?
Right.
And that was heard or told to somebody of a very prominent nature. Now, again, to me, that's third party. To me, that's hearsay.
Now, has anybody ever drained out that river?
No, there's a well that's supposedly down by the river that was a pretty well-known dump site. Now, who can point or who can know where that well is? There hasn't been a lot of description to that.
Okay.
But again,
okay.
where there's a little smoke, there's been a little fire, and you get mm-hmm. some of the same consistencies between this half a dozen to dozen people.
So, okay, so I want to make this clear now. You're not suggesting that, are you, that any of the prominent people in Reign now, part of the Good Old Boys Club, have actually are currently still there, are you?
There are a handful of people still alive that participated in some of these events.
And it's also, you know, my understanding. And again, I'm a third party.
This is all that stuff that you don't talk about. This is all that stuff that nobody admits to, obviously.
And you know, and so no wonder people are against you. They're against you because if they're not against you, maybe they'd be in the river too. If it was a few years ago. So it's some, my understanding that some prominent people in town have actually named quite a number of people in the river as well as who put them in there. And they are still alive.
Well, I don't know that they went so far as to say who put them there. I can say this, though, when the FBI was here 3 years ago, that was the second thing on their other. The water was something that they could prove an attack. They did not discredit the stories about the river, but it would have been so much. I mean, it was told to me that it would have taken so much manpower to pursue that because of the age of the crimes. Even though individuals were still alive that may have participated. And some of the participants are no longer among the living, but the stories all relate back.
I wonder if there's any.
And again, I want to repeat, this is third party information.
Right.
But where there's smoke, there's been a fire. And when
right.
you get the same element, virtually the same numbers, and four or five of the stories are all the same, and it
right.
involves one or two common people,
right?
You've got to use your brain.
Well, it definitely makes you scratch your head a little bit more, doesn't it? You know, it makes, obviously, you know, everybody is innocent until they're proven guilty. And even then, sometimes people that are innocent are charged with guilt. We know that too.
I'll say this, and I don't think he'll mind me saying what I'm going to say, but Stephen Burke has had somebody regurgitate a good portion of the list to him face to face.
I hope he doesn't mind you saying that. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I can say another member of another family has told me.
He just said it's okay. And then supposedly there are some.
Now, I'll let Stephen share whether he wants to share or not who told him that. That's up to him.
Stephen, do you want to come on and, you know, I don't want to sit here and try to figure out what's okay or what isn't okay to say, but, you know, you're well-liked, you're respected, you're well-trusted, you're well-revered, you're a Christian man who, you know, is standing up, and it was against the popular vote and running this show. You know, I'd like for you to have some say over, you know, what it is that you might have to share. And, you know, you just mentioned something to me a couple minutes ago that, I mean, that's sad because I've heard, you know, people do go missing and it's claimed to be suicide.
All of this is all part of the same core problem in Calvin. This isn't out in left field that we're bringing this up or you've brought it into the conversation. It's all part of the poor foundation of principles here in this town.
Yes,
the lawlessness
yes,
of this town, the lawlessness of its government in this town.
Yeah.
It's all the same thing.
I mean,
so I just want to tie that knot together.
So, Stephen, are you there, Stephen?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
do you think Joe Chitwood is afraid of showing up in the being thrown in the river? And he's just going along with this? Do you think he's afraid?
I don't know if there's still anybody that would actually put him in the river still living or not. I mean, I would say he should watch his back, put it that way, but I don't know if they would go so far as to add him to the ones in the river.
So who, Joe or James, or both? Because Joe, if he defies, you know, who pays his, you know, what if he doesn't go along with the good old boys club, okay? Or is he part of it? James, who are you saying should watch? Who are you saying should watch their back?
Okay, if you was asking a question, I didn't understand what you asked.
Who is it that should be careful? Do you feel that it's James that should be careful? I know I feel that James should be careful, and I feel that you should be careful too. But if it was a few years ago, who do you believe could have gone in the river?
Well, I was told personally by a prominent person there in town that named off about half of those bodies in the river and along with the people that put them there, that if it was a few years back, James Treat would be one of them. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
And that was told to me by an upstanding citizen that's lived in
the
town of Calvin for better than 60 years. Let's put it that way.
You've got a caller on here from a blind number. Do you want to take it?
Well, let's give it a shot. Marty, be careful because we don't know what we're facing. If anybody's going to have any profanity,
I'll cut it.
You know,
don't worry.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in.
Yes. Be careful because I could be dangerous. My name is Joe. I've been here before, but I still could be dangerous.
Oh, okay.
The thing is, I just got here, but I was taking a look at your description page, and you were saying talks whistleblower. Are you having themes about whistleblowers? Because I think they're very important. Whistleblowers and investigative reporters, I think now, especially, are the backbones of America. So that's why I'm calling in to find out if you're doing that. And if you are, then I'd like to participate.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. And your name is Joe, you said, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. Joe, please stay on with us.
Okay.
But I would also like to let you know that I'd like to hear from you. My email is injusticeinoklahoma@gmail.com. injusticeinoklahoma@gmail.com. So we can have more of an in-depth discussion. We can share each other's numbers and have that conversation.
Well, I'm not a whistleblower myself. I'm just saying that if you have whistleblowers, then I'd like to learn more about it and perhaps help them or investigative reporters out.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. And in what ways would you be able to help? That's fantastic to hear.
Well, to find out what they need help in. If they need help in spreading the word, maybe finding good lawyers, perhaps. Not that I know of any, except the well-known ones.
Mm-hmm.
But to
mm-hmm.
help out in some way, possibly. Don't know exactly how.
Okay. Well, would you like to ask our guests, and do you have any questions for our guests at all? And this, you're the type of person that we really love to hear from. Because it's number one, you know, something caught your eye, and obviously it concerns you. There normally is a whistleblower summit in Washington, D.C. every year, which likely won't take place because of the COVID-19. And that's a wonderful forum that there's just so much to learn, and there's people out there that are sharing their stories as well as people like you that want to know how they can help. That being said, we don't need to be at that forum to be able to talk with you about how they can, somebody can help.
I have a suggestion already, by the way, because you just reminded me of what I think most people should be doing, is that in whistleblowers in particular, because whistleblowers have the guts to turn the tables around on a corrupt government or on any kind of corrupt institution. Now, what we need in this country, in order to avoid a revolution which may be coming, which could be physical in the streets, would be to have voting blocks to get in the right people. And I'm not talking about conservatives and Republicans and Democrats and liberals. I'm talking about honest people. I myself am a libertarian. I don't mind if constitutionalists are independents running for the same office, because my philosophy is I would rather have 20 new bumbling constitutionalists and libertarians who are honest, elected to office, mm-hmm. to learn how to really abide by the Constitution in a way of integrity,
Amen.
Than career politicians. So
Amen.
My suggestion is if whistleblowers from all states could get together and organize themselves, they have instant credibility. They have instant courage. I mean, they've shown courage. People really shouldn't doubt their particular courage and integrity, and then to use them as examples. For other organizations like the dissidents, the organizers in Michigan, for example, get them together to organize, to have a voting bloc to help Trump and to help whoever wants to be on the side of civil liberty. So that's my suggestion. Whistleblowers, get together, organize with other, be the symbol of organizations, for other organizations, for them to get together. And let's vote in some honest politicians. But I don't have any questions for him because I just got here, so I don't know what this particular gentleman or lady is all about. I guess it's a gentleman, James Tree, is all
right.
about. So that's just my
right.
input for now.
Right. Well, we're right. Well, James has been, there's different kinds of whistleblowers, of course, and we're hoping that that some more will come out for certain. Now, Marty Oakley, the producer of this show, has
uh-huh.
been very active with the Whistleblowers Summit and has a permanent place there. I've been there and I've spoken and, I'm putting on some rallies and, basically standing up against public corruption.
Right.
And, what I want to emphasize to those that are listening is that, we want people to come out and speak that are actually working for town government, an agency, a city, and anywhere in the public menu. You're not going to be a whistleblower in that realm unless you do that while you are still working there. If you wait until you've got retirement, if you wait until you find another job, I get it, we get it, but we need you to come out and speak now. Because if you know something bad is going on and it is causing risk and harm to the public and you still do it and you're still there and you're not saying anything, then you are not, then you're actually violating your oath and your position. So this is where, people need to come out and speak, whether you are a police officer that sees bad things going on, whether you're a volunteer, whether you're on the town council, whether you're a trustee, whether you're the treasurer, whether you're, and if you're retired or you quit or you were fired, we still want you to speak up. But there should not be delay. You can't sit by, and you can because many do, but you shouldn't sit by and watch people's freedoms being taken away from them by public corruption. And and so, Joe, it's great that you call in and you want to learn more about this. And I'd like to encourage you, please, to send me an email and we'll end with your number, or I can get back to you and give you my
I'd rather have your
talk.
Website. I don't give out my number and I don't give out my email because this is the internet and the government has been watching for a long time.
I totally understand, and I've been hacked. As a matter of fact, my page was hacked about a year and a half ago and lost thousands of people and had to start again. Can I ask Marty, the producer, give you my phone number before you hang up?
Sure, but if you have a website, I can go to the website and also check out exactly where these particular forums are.
Oops, we're getting some feedback here. Well, I have a feedback. I have a website, but I'm not exactly on top of it. And I've been doing most of what I do on my Facebook page. I have a couple of them.
Can I make a recommendation? Get the hell off of Facebook and just solely concentrate on your website.
Yep, and then share through the website if I share. And I've been talking about that and you know, making that, because that way things don't come down. They're there forever.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And I'd love to talk with you about that too.
Okay.
It sounds like you have a guy. Your guy really knows what he's doing. And for me, you know, I mean, we could do shows just on Oklahoma alone, 24/7.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We have time constraints, and that's why we need to come together as you know.
And we do. People have
yes.
to come together. And let's say, for example, you're in Oklahoma. You know of other whistleblowers, or should know of other whistleblowers,
yes.
and all the other 50 states.
I'm actually not in Oklahoma, believe it or not. That's probably why I'm still alive.
Oh, that may be. If you were in Arkansas, you'd be dead by now. I know what you mean.
Okay. We can have some talks.
Yeah. So,
Tanya,
yeah.
you can go to calvininfo.com, www.calvininfo.com,
Calvin,
and get somewhat of a background
hold on a second,
on this
please.
Particular situation.
Is that calvininfo.com?
Correct.
Okay. That's your website,
okay.
right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And we have another caller on. So,
okay.
So, Joe, I'd like to thank you very much for calling in. Please feel free to talk with Marty. She will give you my telephone number.
All right.
And we do have another caller calling in.
All right. I'll hold on
for
Marty.
Time,
okay.
And I hope to hear from you.
Thank
Marty,
you.
Thank
hang
you,
Hang on
Joe.
A second here. Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. They just disconnected, Tanya. I guess they got tired
okay.
of waiting. All right.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
You want to take me to the green room and give me the number?
Yeah, Marty, you can mute him and give him my number if that's possible. Okay. James, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, very good. So you know, that's kind of these are the kinds of things that there's so much activity out there. And that's what the whistleblowers are all about, the Whistleblower Summit, you know, and this show is actually sponsored by, it's in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblowers Annual Whistleblower Summit in Washington, D.C. every year. And so we don't know, once again, if it's going to be happening, because when you have so many people showing up in the forum, you know, that's an issue right now with the COVID-19. So hopefully something else will take place online for this year. But in this environment, we can certainly have, we can certainly utilize all of the bodies, able-bodied people that are willing to come out and help with whatever whatever they are expert in, or sounded like a professional man who has a genuine interest and has a lot to share. Usually when people take interest in things like this, it's because they've gone through it themselves in some way, shape, or form. We were talking about bodies in the river and it's just kind of like something that doesn't get talked about in Calvin, Oklahoma, and yet somebody else from the outside hears about this going on or that it's gone on, and it's like I've had people messaging me since we brought that up, right? So I want to talk about that for a couple minutes, and we do have only a few minutes left to talk, but
I just want to make the point out of something that we were talking about earlier, James, is, you know, the people inside of Calvin or, their media area that actually are condoning these behaviors or bullying you or anybody else who stands up for you while you are standing up for the constitutional rights, the civil and human rights, and against the public corruption that does take place in Calvin, Oklahoma, as it was taking place in Wetumpka, and things are now on the right track, which is a good thing to hear, as it was taking place with Edwin Hardington, and he won his case, and others and others and others. So, you know, it's one step closer for Calvin, Oklahoma. It's one step closer for James Treat.
Let me make this as a point, okay? You're talking about the deaths in the river, and it's been openly said if this was a few years back, I would be probably one of them. My bike has been burned. My trailer's been burned. I've been threatened umpteen time by I don't know how many different people. They're going to kill me. They're going to run me out of town. They're going to do all this stuff. And this police chief is well aware of all of that, well aware of every bit of that. And yet he does not see anything wrong with David Webster perusing the alley, specifically looking to see where cameras are, where cameras have been moved, and not question the motive of why does he even need to know.
Okay,
is the apathy of Joe Chitwood.
Okay, but stop there now. So Joe Chitwood is obviously not doing his job, okay, in that respect. But listen, if you work for Calvin in any way, shape, or form, okay, if you are somebody who knows that this is going on and you've been scratching your head about it, and you can be the blower, and there are whistleblower protections. Look, if you're sick and tired of this.
Well, I've explained that very thing to Joe Chitwood. His only protection is to be a whistleblower and file the appropriate paperwork.
Well,
he must be one of them.
And he's got a very, you know, it's my understanding that, you know, it didn't start in Calvin. So, you know, that there's a history there. So something, my gut tells me that it's not that he's struggling with ethical issues. That's just what my gut tells me, okay? That being said,
struggling with this show.
He's struggling with the show. He's certainly struggling with the show. He's struggling with being basically called out and making a fool of himself. Again, this was happening long before Joe Chitwood showed up, but he's part of the condemnation of the illicit activities that are continuing to show up in Oklahoma, the drug running, the assaults against you, and you know what? And what else? So I've got to say goodnight. Say goodnight. I'm so, so sorry. I've got like 40 seconds left to go. James, we're with you. There's more that are with you. We can't name on, you know, live. Stephen Burke, you're absolutely tremendous. I wish we could have listened to you some more tonight. Marty, thank you so much for this show. Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network. Stephen, 89.9 FM, KLRB, Lighthouse Christian Radio. Really appreciate our listeners for being here. And we'll be back on again, goodness, Tuesday with Marty Oakley, with Edwin Turlington, with his continuing series on the rape of Delaware County, and we're wrapping that up. I'm Tanya Hathaway, where your voice is heard and your story is told. I'm your host, and I'm so grateful for all of you for listening tonight. God bless, and be safe. Good night.